Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and it's time to get your Radio Academy summer shorts on. As over August, we're revisiting some best bits, highlights, and previously unheard footage in bite-sized podcasts for your summer listening. This week, we revisit my chat from February with radio legend David Lloyd. David gives us his thoughts on the Boom Radio brand, the importance of listener data for a station, and the future of music radio. I started by asking David if there was a vision when he first thought of the model of working remotely for Boom Radio.
I think we felt, both as human beings and as radio professionals, that when you get over 60, the world starts to treat you in a very different way. You know, if I go for a job now, people say, who's that old bloke waiting in reception? That's the reality of it. And we realized that everybody else over 60 felt the same way, that the world actually didn't actually value them that much. So yes, we were playing amongst the musical array that we play on Boom is principally 60s and 70s, but we have 80s and more recent too, and a sprinkling of 50s as well. So that is important. And clearly that chimes with our generation because they grew up to that music and they love hearing it again. But hearing broadcasters who are all in their 60s, 70s or 80s, in other words, all the cultural references, everything they say, you know, we can refer to obliquely to a sitcom from 1972 and our audience get it. So people like our audience, talking to our audience and chiming with our audience, we thought that would work. And I have to say, the feedback we are getting, all of us who work in radio, we get lovely letters from people who really value what we do. And that's part of why we worship this wonderful medium of radio. But here the feedback is, you know, people really say, you have changed my life. And we get people, you know, writing to us and saying, this will be the first new year I've not spent with my husband. Lost him a few months ago, and you've been such a companion, and those sorts of words, and they just come in their hundreds and thousands, these emails. So I don't think we imagine that would be the sense of belonging that this community radio station created. To come back to your point on doing it remotely, we knew it would be a very tough commercial operation. Nobody else in commercial radio has set out specifically to target an older audience. Advertising is tough to come by. The advertising fraternity, the ad agencies, for all sorts of some understandable, some puzzling reasons, don't attach the same value to people over the age of 55, because they think we're about to keel over and die, or we're very cheap to buy on other media, or we've made our mind up about every brand we're ever likely to buy. All these misconceptions. So we knew it would be taxing to make a business out of this, and certainly in the early days, we had to watch every penny that we were spending. And the only way we can do this is not having a lovely head office anywhere, by doing it from our homes. And with today's technology, you can do that really easily. So, we had to do it like this. But I think it's enabled us to get broadcasters who probably don't want to traipse into London every day, who do want to pop upstairs and do it. But it also adds to the intimacy when listeners think that, the big names who were once on Radio 1 and Radio 2 are speaking to them very personally now from the attic at the same sort of age they are, living the same sort of life that they've lived. That intimacy, I think, has added to the station rather than taken away from it. And we have more stationality than many radio stations in buildings where all the presenters just wander in and fall out. Oh, you've worked there too.
Oh, I'm not saying a word, David. I'm just laughing raucously at that. As you said, you are all scattered over the country. Everyone's in converted sheds and attics and back bedrooms and things. Yet there is this feeling of a family with the listeners. There is this brand.
You're absolutely right that it's grown. It's almost beyond a radio station. It's beyond a brand. It's almost a movement. The way that our listeners talk to us, that's that sense of belonging. So we realise we'd hit something. We are a brand for old people who aren't old. We talk about feeling young again, and that's the feeling we all have.
You're talking about the data, and you can really drill in now, can't you? And it can be really precise. That's very important, isn't it, when you're running a radio station?
It is. It's the intelligence that I didn't have you know, at all my other radio stations in the same way, because, you know, first of all, it didn't exist. And then when online did exist, it was such a small proportion of listening and an atypical proportion with a different listening curve and flavor. And it was difficult to use that as a programmer. But now I think, and I have to suspect many programmers will agree with me, that it's what you program by. You know, Rajar is a great, reliable, trusted trading currency. Great bank, that. But to work out which programs are working and how, you know, just looking at that data of their behavior is enormous. You know, it doesn't give you demos and things like that, but it gives you an enormous amount of insight.
Boom has been such a breath of fresh air. Why was no one else doing it, do you think?
We know as programmers, to attract the biggest audience, you should play the hits and play them frequently enough so that your listeners, when they come through the door for the first time, they hear those hits. That's a thoroughly sound strategy. And as I say, running a different radio station, I do that. You market it like hell and you create a very, very successful radio stations. But there are some listeners who actually think, do you know, I just want something a little bit spicier, a little bit different, a bit more surprise. And we're aiming at those radio stations. It's not the biggest market, but it's big enough for us. And, you know, but we like to give the impression we're playing, you know, pardon my phrase, any old rubbish. You know, we don't care, we're just regular. As you can imagine, it's really thought through. And certainly on Boom Radio, you know, although we're playing some really risky stuff, you know, we'll come out the news with something fairly well known, we'll come out the ad break something well known. And if there's something a little bit spicier, you'll notice it's before or after a presenter's spoken, and just explain why the hell we're playing it to the listeners. So there is a lot of care that goes around our miscellany.
You can feel that care, though, and you can feel that love for the music. Music scheduling is an art. It is a science. But a lot of your presenters choose some of their own tracks or even all of their own music. Tell me about that trust and that value that you put into those broadcasters and that knowledge that you allow them to do that.
A very carefully framed question. Our listeners always say, do the presenters choose the music? I mean, what tends to happen is the presenters will suggest many of the tracks they want to play. They might say, I'd love to play this Saturday, or here's a list of things I think will really fit this program. So the presenters chip in and we build the programs around those. And I think, you know, give presenters enough trust. And so long as they feel they are valued and we have faith in what they say, if they just think we're, you know, good old fashioned programmers saying, no, we know best, you know, we wouldn't have a very fruitful dialogue. But I think, you know, there is trust between the presenters and Paul, who puts the music together.
Where is the future for music radio, and particularly of the type that you are making? Where do you see not just Boom going, but music radio going in the future?
Well, when I talk about the future of radio, I always end up by saying something like, whatever happens in the future, whatever platforms, whatever formats, how it's delivered, what it's called, the one constant is that people will always have two ears and they will always want something interesting to put into those ears. So I think so long as we can continue delivering something interesting, something entertaining, there will always be a future for what we do.
Lovely to revisit that wisdom and knowledge from David Lloyd, and thanks again to him for being my guest. We have summer socials happening in Birmingham on the 15th of August, and it's a special evening where our MD, Aradhna Tile-Leach, will be in conversation about her first year in the role and what's coming up for the Academy. We also have a Cardiff summer social on the 21st of August. radioacademy.org/events is where you'll find all the details and get tickets. You only have until the 15th of August to apply for the Real World 30 Under 30, our annual list of the ones to watch. Tips on how to apply and testimonials from the class of 2023 are on our website, radioacademy.org/30under30. And the Radio Academy Festival is on the 18th of September with a theme of Impact Amplified. We're releasing details and names of hosts and guests all the time, so keep an eye on the website, and that's where you can book tickets too. radioacademy.org/festival. Next week, our Summer Shorts is with comedian, impressionist and broadcaster Matt Ford. In some previously unheard audio, he opens up about his cancer diagnosis and how supportive Absolute Radio have been. I'll see you next week.